This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It is Tom Brady's 40th birthday in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll look back at some of the best old guy performers in sports history.
You imagine Boston radio today just climbing all over themselves to do... I remember I first met Tom so many years. He smiled at me and shook my hand and said, it's good to meet you. And it was good for him to meet me. I love him so much, Tom. Like, just they're singing happy birthday every on the 15s.
Well, speaking of that, I read a story from ESPN Boston whenever they were doing that city-by-city ESPN thing.
Right.
And now just the NFL writer in Boston for ESPN... Mike Reese, I believe it is, who wrote a piece about Tom Brady where, and it was really, really quality journalism. He talked to, like, essentially it was 50 people from Tom Brady's life for their favorite Tom Brady anecdote. So it was high school teammates, college roommates.
That's cool, actually.
It was former players in New England years ago, current players in New England who are in other organizations, different things, right? And some of the anecdotes were, like, the time he chugged a beer faster than anyone else on the team, and they were all shocked. You know, when he was in the dorm and he got upset about something being left in the wrong place. I mean, it was all kinds of personal anecdotes, professional. It was just really well done. It's on ESPN.com.
Did you see the Vrabel story in there?
I read them all, so I'm sure I did.
So real quick, it was Vrabel's first time on offense.
Yeah.
So for people who haven't read it, Vrabel lines up in one of their goal line packages because, hey, it's a neat gimmick and Bill Belichick's a genius or whatever, right?
Right.
So Vrabel in practice is running some sort of route at the back of the end zone.
Like just a drag across the back of the end zone.
And he's wide open, and this is in practice. And he's waving his arms at Brady to throw him the football because he's, hey, I'm open. And Brady goes in a different direction for that portion of practice. Come back to the huddle, and Brady expletive-laced is like, if you ever get in the end zone and wave your arms at me again, I will bleepity bleep
you. I'll never throw the ball to your way.
I'm the quarterback. I bleeping know who's bleeping open.
Yeah. I thought it was a great line. He goes, I'm the quarterback. I know who's open. I'll throw it where the blank I want to. And Vrabel said, yeah, I never mentioned again wanted the football. Well, it's just a great story. But there are 12 like that in that piece, which is really well done.
That's classic Tommy.
Well, we'll get into Brady. I love everyone's rush to call him Tommy in that, too. Everyone's like, and Tommy sat there. And he just laughed with us, and you know everyone's overly familiar with him all of a sudden. But that's next hour. We'll get into that on Grant and Danny. What team makes the playoffs this year in football? Preseason kicks off tonight on national television. Cowboys, Cardinals, 8 p.m. NBC. That did not make the playoffs last year. You got to put your savings on this. We're gonna make this high stakes here, okay? So you've got to be confident in your bet before you call us up and. Make the case why. Don't just tell us the team. Tell us why they're going to make the playoffs. Use some rationale, some logic here. We're going to give you one from each conference, and then we're going to take your calls on this. So do you want to go NFC or AFC?
I'll go NFC.
NFC last year, playoff picture was division champion Cowboys, 13-3. Atlanta Falcons, double-digit wins. The Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers, your wild card teams were the Giants and the Lions. So the first teams out last year were, among others, the Redskins, the Panthers, the Bucks,
Minnesota,
the Vikings, all kind of in the playoff mix that didn't make it. So, Danny, you're putting a large sum of money on which NFC team to get in that didn't last year.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's what everybody's doing, and it scares me a little bit because everybody's lining up to sort of like a lemming to walk off the cliff here about them. I just love it. Jameis Winston, I love the development. He has it. He's got whatever that thing is that all like the old high school coaches like bring people in, put their hands on their hips with a whistle just outside their mouth, and they want to talk about find the guts in the heart of the man inside the next person in your soul. Jameis Winston has that. I love the receiver upgrade with DeSean Jackson opening things up for Mike Evans. I love the fact that the defense is starting to get better. It's not good yet, but they were actually middle of the pack in terms of D last year. I think they take the next step in that NFC South.
I like that. And I actually really like the thinking in the division, because I think the Falcons are not going to be as good as they were last year. And forget the fact that they got to and lost the Super Bowl. I mean, they're not going to win close to the 11 wins they had a chance to go after in Week 17 last season. I think they win a few fewer games. Probably 9, but maybe 8. And I wouldn't be shocked if they missed the playoffs altogether, although I think they'll make it. For that reason, I'm going with Carolina. I think the Panthers had one of those post-Super Bowl hangover, some of all fears
weird
type
seasons.
Now, I'm still not sold on their defense. And for the record, they blew out their GM a few weeks ago at a terrible time.
Yeah.
There is some turmoil and upheaval still in that organization. A couple of things I like about Carolina's offseason, though. First of all, they did get better in their secondary. If you look at some of what they've got now, they basically have the young kids of last year that struggled, like James Bradbury, with a year of experience. Captain Munnerlin, the former Viking, helping them out. Mike Adams at safety, who they brought over from Indianapolis, and Kirk Coleman playing ahead of some depth, but no one else that you would think really is impact there. The strength of that defense is still their linebacking core with Shaq Thompson, Luke Kuechly, and Thomas Davis. Up front, I didn't even remember that Julius Peppers is back with them to end his career. Now, I don't know how much he gives them, but they got Kawan Short, Star Lotulelei, Charles Johnson. Their defense is going to be, I'd say, maybe average, maybe a tick above that, but their offense is going to be better. I think Carolina's offense this year is actually going to be very solid. With Cam Newton at the controls having a little bit of a bounce-back season, Kelvin Benjamin's lost 30 pounds since he was his fattest this offseason.
That's good.
They don't have to rely as much maybe on Devin Funchess and some of their backup wide receivers because they drafted Curtis Samuel from Ohio State, who I think is going to be a really good player for them in the slot this year. So they're going to make a few more explosive plays. I like Carolina, and I think Atlanta comes back to the pack. I'm with you on Tampa Bay. I knew you were going with them, so I'll take the Panthers. But
it's interesting. That's where we went. I mean, nobody's gone Cardinals here. And nobody went maybe Eagles. That's a couple teams that people are kind of looking at as either a bounce back or a team that's on the rise.
Maybe people do that on the phones when we take your calls, 800-636-1067. Let's go to the AFC.
I kicked around a couple different squadrons here. I'm more enamored with Denver than you are. I just think that defense keeps them in every game.
Denver will be good.
One of two teams that gave up less than 300 points on the season last year. New England was the other, as dominant as they were at 14-2. Denver's offense just not good enough because of the quarterback position. They've got good skill guys. I almost went Denver, but that division is too hard with Kansas City still going to be pretty good. And, of course, Oakland, a team that I think is a juggernaut. So I went to a team from a crappy division, kind of keeping with the same theme. Give me the last year a sneaky 9-7. The Tennessee Titans were 9-7 last year. I think they make a little bit of a step forward.
They had the same record as the team that won the division.
They did. And that division stinks, by the way. The Colts can't get out of their own way. I think Houston just sort of by default has done it defensively. Obviously, they got a rookie quarterback. I think Tennessee does it. I think Tennessee with Mariota. Defense, I don't know if they're good enough to start winning playoff games yet, but they've made some slow and steady improvements. Offensively, I just like it. I like what I see down there until Mariota gets hurt or banged up because he's running around too darn much. But I love the Tennessee Titans this year.
So there were a few things bouncing around in my mind on the AFC. Last year's playoff field, to jog your memory, the Patriots out of the East, the Raiders out West, the Steelers in the North, Texans in the South, the Chiefs and the Dolphins were the wild card teams. So you had clubs like Tennessee, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, all in the South that were right there on the brink. As I kind of looked at the Southern Division, I love Tennessee this year getting a lot better, and I do think you're right that they will make the playoffs. But another team I'll give you, I actually think that in the North, there is room to be had because I'm not sure that you're going to have two 11-win teams in the West again. Kansas City steps back. Oakland's going to be good. The Dolphins may or may not have lost Ryan Tannehill today. He left the practice field, and everyone's saying he's hurt. Let's wait and see before we kind of say that their year is lost at this point. For all I know, he's going to be back at practice in 48 hours. The Cincinnati Bengals, though, had a really good draft. Taking John Ross in round one to add him to A.J. Green and Brandon LaFell. Andy Dalton can't ask for anything more to throw the ball to. They took two wide receivers, including Josh Malone, in the first four rounds. They're going to have three new wide receivers on their roster with Green, with LaFell, with Tyler Boyd. They also, at running back, got a lot better. Still have Jeremy Hill on the goal line. Still have Giovanni Bernard catching the ball to the backfield. And then they've got a guy that's better than both of them in Joe Mixon.
So they outscored people by 10 points last year. That may not seem like a big deal. If you do that, you shouldn't be 6-9-1. You should be 8-8. So it was fluky that they lost the way that they did.
They were the most deceivingly bad team in football, I think, from one season ago. Now, I'm not sold on their defense. Dunlap, Sims, and Atkins up front, really good. Their back seven, though, led by nutjob Vontaze Burfict, who's taking cheap shots at his teammates in practice, worry me. I think they're going to still give up a lot of big plays. They're still going to be on the wrong end of a lot of long touchdowns. But I think they win some shootouts, and I think they make a lot of big gains in the passing game with John Ross, Malone, and Green healthier this year. So I got Cincinnati in a bounce-back campaign getting into the playoffs out of the AFC.
That's if you buy. Cleveland's still going to stink. We know that. Baltimore, I don't know what, I don't know what Baltimore is.
3 weeks ago, I would probably would have said the Ravens.
Yeah.
But with the Flacco news and some of the injuries they've had and the issues they've had already at camp, and they've lost an offensive lineman for the season, I got a bad feel on them.
It's that all of a sudden, that division all of a sudden not terribly good at this stage. I could absolutely see Cincinnati.
Let's take some calls next. Opening up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines for you. You've got to put a good chunk of your savings on a team to make the playoffs that didn't last year. Who's it going to be? From the NFC, the AFC. You can take one in each conference. I took the Bengals and the Panthers.
I got Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I got the Tennessee Titans.
We're Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.